You may be seated. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, thank you for sowing this morning. Amen. We sow because we know what the word says. Amen.
Amen.
God is not mocked, right? Whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. Amen. So we operate in the word of God, right? It's a principle that God has established. Praise the Lord. So we're not only proficient sowers, but we're also proficient reapers as well. Amen? So as you have sowed, don't forget to call in your harvest. Amen. Yeah, because you that's your right as a believer. Amen. Well, praise the Lord for being here this morning. Well, we've had so far a great time in the presence of God. Amen. And, you know, this morning is designated as Healing Sunday. Praise God. So we're going to talk about healing this morning. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for your word this morning that will come forth. Father, we thank you that our hearts are open and our ears are in tune to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us at this moment. We keep our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. And we thank you, Lord, that what you have authored in our life, that what you have begun in our lives, that you are obligated and committed to finishing. But what you have not started in our lives, then you are not obligated to finish. So we thank you on this journey of faith, Lord God, that he who has begun a good work in each and every one of us is committed to fulfill that work until the coming of Jesus Christ. So we thank you. And everybody say,
amen,
amen and amen. Well, let me turn to your Bibles in Leviticus chapter 14. It's one of those pages where some of us hardly go to. But, you know, it's the Word of God. All Scripture has been given to us by God, right? It's inspired by God, whether it's the Old Testament or the New. All of it is God-breathed for you and I to receive. And as you find your place there, Leviticus chapter 14, we're going to read verses 14 through 18. Just hold your place there, and let me just lay a foundation, and we'll jump right into the Word. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being in God's house this morning. Everybody smile. All right. Praise the Lord. How many of you know, you probably know because you've been part of this church, and sometimes we forget, but how many of you know it is God's will for you to live and to walk in divine health?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that is God's will, that we, beloved, right? That it's his will for us to prosper, right? And to be in health, even as our soul prospers. So it's God's will for you and I to live and walk in divine health. Now, divine healing as defined, I found this by the late, great Dr. Lester Summerall. He defines divine healing is a recovery from an abnormal physical or emotional aberration. An aberration or a departing or deviating from the right to the norm or the norm. He also goes on and says, it is a restoration to the health and victory over the curse. It is to know and to operate in your sonship right. How many of you know we are heirs and joint heirs in Christ, right? So as heirs and joint heirs in Christ, we have, right, we have rights, right, as sons and daughters. Not that we demand those rights, but because we are sons and daughters of God, we have access to those rights legally, right? So we have to know and how to operate in that sonship right. Divine healing is one of your covenant rights. It is not a privilege for you and I to be healed and to be made whole. But it is a legal right as a child of God. Amen. As a son and daughter of God. Just like if you have a son and daughter, naturally, they have a legal right, right, to whatever you have valuable, right, for them. They have a right to that, a will. And we as sons and daughters of God, we have a legal right, right, as children of God. Because we understand forgiveness of sin and healing was fulfilled in the redemptive work of Christ, in the atonement. Everybody say in the atonement, at the cross. Now think about this. Just because we have a legal right to something, such as divine healing, as sons and daughters of God, it doesn't mean we're automatic partakers of it, does it? How many of you want to be partakers of everything the Word of God says that is legally yours? Yeah. Well, you can know what is legally belongs to you. How? By spending time understanding and knowing what God says in His Word. Amen. See, you will never understand and know what legally belongs to you if you don't spend time finding out what it is. Praise the Lord. Because faith begins, everybody say faith begins, where the will of God is known. Yeah. And you know, God makes it clear what His will is in His Word. Amen. So if you study your Bible, you find out what God's will for you to be healthy and to be healed. It is His will. Amen. And another thing is our faith has to be based solely on what the Word of God says. Yeah. Like this morning, we sowed based upon Pastor Carol sharing a word that God spoke about of being having peace and prosperity. Right? So we sow in the basis of what God says. Right? We do our part, and what does God do? He does His part. Amen. See, the Word of God, what the Word of God, in order for the Word of God to work effectively, we cannot judge it by someone's opinion or some religious teaching that has no truth to it, right? Apart to what God says. Because everything else will be just sinking sand, right? We won't be able to hold anything. And God's word is the foundation and the basis of what we believe, right? Paul says, I know in whom I believe, right? I know in whom I believe, and therefore I will trust Him. So in Leviticus chapter 14, reading from verses 14 through 18, it goes, then the priest will then take some of the blood of the trespass, or we can say guilt offering, and apply it to the lobe of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot of the person being purified. He's speaking about a person who has leprosy, right? Verse 15, then the priest will pour some of the oil, olive oil, into the palm of his left hand. He will dip his right finger into the oil in his palm and sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the Lord. He will sprinkle it. The priest will then apply some of the oil in his palm, the blood from the trespass guilt offering, that is on the lobe of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot of the person being purified. Sounds like one of those tongue twisters, right? Then the priest will apply the oil remaining in his hand to the head of the person being purified. Through this process or atonement, the priest will purify the person before the Lord. Amen. So this morning we want to entitled this message, Nothing But the Blood. Everybody say, Nothing But the Blood. How many of you know we are a church that believes and preaches the truth about the power of the blood of Jesus? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission or forgiveness of sin. Praise God. That is the power of the blood. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The blood is able, not any old blood, not blood of bulls, goats, and sheep, but the blood of the sinless one, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. That is the blood that is able to remove sin from our lives completely. Amen. We have experienced that. Yes, a lot of times we forget about what the blood has done for us. Amen. There is nothing like the power of the blood of Jesus. Somebody say, there's power in the blood. Amen. In Leviticus, this scripture deals with the process of a person who has leprosy, a disease in the natural, but a type of sin in the spiritual. Amen. Would have to go through this process, and the leper was not considered cleansed or healed until the blood was first applied. Amen. Was a blood from an unblemished animal that had no defects, right? As I said, the leper was not considered cleansed or healed until the blood was first applied. Then after the priest would pronounce the leper cleansed, and he would apply the oil right on top of the blood. Where he applied the blood, then he would apply the oil right upon the blood. Amen.
Amen.
The oil was only to be applied where the blood was present. Notice that. It took the blood to cleanse you from sin, right? Somebody say, yes. And to make you holy. Then the Holy Spirit could come in and take up residence within you. Amen. But the blood had to be applied in your life in order for the Holy Spirit to take up residence in your life. Do you follow me? Why is it important to know as a believing believer about the blood? Right? Because you've been blood bought. Everybody say, I've been blood bought. You've been angel sought. Holy Ghost taught. Redeemed and set free. By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of our testimony. And a lot of times we stop there. It goes on. Who love not their lives unto death. Amen. You see, the Holy Ghost answers to the blood. The Holy Ghost is a witness to the blood. The Holy Ghost honors the blood. Not any old blood. The precious blood of Jesus. The Holy Ghost testifies to the blood. The Holy Ghost waits for the blood to be applied over a sinner. And once that blood is applied, then the Holy Ghost comes inside and dwells in that vessel for all your life. Amen? The Holy Ghost comes to where the blood has been applied in Jesus' name. Our text said the priest would first apply the blood, then the oil. How many of you know that if there's no blood, there's no salvation? If there's no blood, there's no remission or forgiveness of sin in Hebrews 9:22. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 19, for you know that God paid a ransom. He paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, from Adam and Eve. Yeah. You inherited that sin life, that empty life, right? That you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which loses their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
It was the blood of Christ that ransomed you, that paid the down payment for your salvation. Hallelujah. No blood, no sanctification. Somebody say, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Let me read this. I found this and was pretty cool. Several years ago in Oshawa, Ontario, Canada, George and Vera Bangjekis lives were changed forever. In February 16, 1989, it was a normal Thursday morning. The phone rang at 9:15 in the morning, and the voice said, there's been an accident. It involved their son, Ben. One of the scariest phone calls any parent can receive. And that's why we need to plead the blood of Jesus over us. Amen. And as they approached the intersection of Simcoe Street near the high school, they could see flashing lights of police cars and ambulance lights. Vera noticed a photographer and followed the direction of his camera lens to the largest pool of blood she had ever seen. All she could say was, George Ben went home to be with the Lord. Her first reaction was to jump out the car, somehow collect the blood, and put it back in her son. That blood, for me, at that moment, became the most precious thing in the world because it was his life. It was living, giving blood that belonged to my son, my only son, one that I loved so much. The road was dirty and the blood just didn't belong there. George noticed that cars were driving right through the intersection, right through the blood. His heart was smitten. He wanted to cover the blood with his coat and cry, you will not drive over this blood. This is my son. Then Vera understood for the first time in their life one of God's greatest and most beautiful truths. Why blood? Because it was the strongest language God could have used. It was the most precious thing he could have given, the highest, the blood of his son. No blood, no deliverance from sickness or disease. Don't you realize the power in the blood? As a believer, we are tolerating a curse when Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law. Right? What is it from spiritual death to no more separation from God? Right? We're no longer separated from God. No eternal death. From sickness and disease to divine healing and health, from poverty and lack to unlimited supply and provision. Christ became a curse by reversing it into the blessing of God. Therefore, instead of being empowered to fail, he has empowered us to increase, to succeed, and to prosper by endowing the blessing of God upon your life. Jesus took the curse into his body so that the blessing of God might be upon us. Amen. So we can live and enjoy the blessed life that includes divine healing and divine health. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now think about it. To not understand what Christ did at the cross regarding our healing is to continue to live under the curse. Because it is God's will and desire for you and I to be healed and to be whole. Amen. No blood, no oil, no anointing, no power. No blood, no authority, no protection. No blood, no peace, no oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. No blood, no access or entrance into the presence of God. See how important the blood is. Somebody say, there's nothing like the blood. Jesus' blood. There couldn't be no Pentecost without a Passover. Think about that. There couldn't be no Pentecost without a Passover. Remember the Passover? The Bible says the death angel would pass over the homes, right? Where the blood was applied to the doorpost. The blood. Symbolic. And where it wasn't, the death angel had access to that home. Thank God for Calvary. You got to go to the cross where the blood was shed in order to receive the benefits of it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within it. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. We should not forget the benefits, or we can say, don't forget the perks. Right? Or we can say, God's compensation package. And what is the perks and what is God's compensation package? He tells us what those benefits and perks are. Who forgiveth all of your iniquities, all of your sins, past, present, and future. He heals all of our disease. All. Everybody say all.
All.
The word all in Hebrew means what? All, right? All of our diseases, all of our diseases. The Passion Translation says he healed us inside and out from every sickness and disease. He goes on. He redeems our lives from destruction. This is all part of the Father's compensation. He redeems our lives from destruction. Jesus rescued your life and saved us from an eternal hell. Praise the Lord. Who crowns us with his loving kindness and tender mercies. What does that mean? He marks us with his love and his mercy. Amen. David said, his mercy shall follow me. Right? His goodness and mercy. His love and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David had a revelation of that. Amen. Who satisfies our mouth with good things. Right? The psalmist starts off with, bless the Lord, O my soul. He blesses the Lord, everything that is within him. He satisfies our mouth with good things. Why? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. This is a scripture that you should take for yourself. Well, Father God, I thank you that my youth is renewed as the eagles. Amen. You know, the eagles, when they stretch their wings, the wingspan from end to end is 8 feet wide. It's huge. They weigh about 30 pounds. An adult male eagle can scoop up a 50-pound antelope right off the ground and take him up with the span of his wings. Amen. So God compares us as eagles. The Passion Translation says, Lord, you have supercharged my life so that I can soar again like a flying eagle in the sky. Some of you need the Lord to supercharge your life again. Today. Because some of you have been playing hurt and sitting on the sidelines way too long. God needs you to be soaring again and doing great things for the kingdom of God. Somebody say, I need to soar again. Amen. If you want to walk in power with the Lion of the tribe of Judah, you got to be in covenant and covered in the blood of the Lamb. We're talking about the blood of Jesus this morning. You know, I love the blood. How many of you love the blood of Jesus? You know, there's something that happens when you talk about the power of the blood. Amen. Demons know and they tremble. They do. When you mention the blood, something stirs up, right? Boldness and faith on the inside of you. Amen. Do you sense in your spirit that you're being quickened by the Holy Ghost this morning, who's living inside of you? How many of you know? Let's just take the time. Let's just thank God and praise God for the blood of Jesus. Well, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you. We have been redeemed. We have been sanctified. We have been justified. We have been consecrated by the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, we have access into the presence of God through and by the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus upon our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, I was thinking about this with all the technical gadgets that we have, right? Some of you have those right now, right? All of these technical gadgets that we have at our fingertips, you know, iPhones, laptops, iPads, computers. You know, we have all of these wonderful gadgets that we can access information any time of the day. But you know what? It cannot be replaced by the old-time Pentecostals who understood the importance of living under the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. They called it plead the blood. They called it plead the blood. I plead the blood. Yeah. I plead the blood. They would plead the blood on everything. They plead the blood on the house, the property, the cars, the kids, the family, the dogs, even on the airplane. We ended up pleading the blood on the airplane last week when we went to Oahu. I mean, the weather was just jerking that plane all over the place in the air. I said, I plead the blood of Jesus over this airplane. Praise the Lord. You see, the word plead is actually a legal term. It was an answer. It's an answer to judgment in the court of law. The judge would say, you have been charged with such and such a crime. How do you plead? What is your defense to this? And the accused would either plead innocent or guilty. Or they would plead the fifth. Well, the same occurs in the spiritual courts, in God's court. You see, when the devil as a roaring lion comes about seeking whom he may devour, with accusations, threats, spewing lies from the pit of hell, this is the way your body or health is always going to be. There's no hope or cure for you. Yeah, he spews these lies. Nothing is going to change. Nothing's going to get better. You might as well embrace it and live it like this is all, you know, that life has for you. Amen. There's no hope. And that's when you look the devil straight in the eye and you square your shoulders and declare, I plead the blood. Somebody say, I plead the blood. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. You see, the blood is your defense. It speaks for me. It speaks for you. Amen. See, to plead the blood is to understand what the blood did for you. Pleading the blood is not some kind of religious mantra that we just spew off, but it's knowing, it is having a revelation of that blood of Jesus, what it did for you. That there's power in the blood. And when I speak the blood, right, I'm reminded of what the blood of Jesus did. Amen. It defeated the devil once and for all. Right? And that's why we plead the blood. Because there's power in the blood of Jesus. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the bloody gospel. I'm not speaking English. Right? You know how they speak. Bloody. It's a bloody gospel. No, Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a bloody gospel. Calvary. How many know Calvary was bloody? I mean, what Mel Gibson did with the movie of Passion was the closest that we can, right? We can come to know of how bloody and how marred Jesus Christ was. But it was 10 times more than that. Yeah. Jesus bled when he prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane and great drops of blood like sweat came out of his body. See, Jesus didn't just bled on Calvary. There was many other instances where he bled. Yeah, where his blood was bled, shed. The first was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying. With all that tremendous pressure on him, his veins began to burst like great drops of blood, like perspiration, because of the agony and what he was having to bear at that moment. In fact, Gethsemane means to be pressed, because he was in an olive garden where they would press olives for oil. So he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he himself was being pressed and being squeezed. He bled at the garden. Great drops of blood, like sweat. He bled when the soldiers ripped his beard and smite him or punched his face. A whole battalion false cracked him, one after another. They ripped his beard off and false cracked him. All the battalion of the Roman soldiers all took cheap shots at him, to where his mouth, his nose began to bleed. He bled when he was scourged and beaten 40 minus one times, each wound for every disease and sickness. He bled when the soldiers shoved the crown of thorns down on his head and it punctured his skull. Amen. And those thorns were 3.5 inches long. He bled. But notice that he bled when that thorns of crowns, which represented the curse, pierced his head. It was provision for healing for the mind. Everything that Jesus did or received was provision for our healing, for spirit, soul, and body. Amen. He bled when the nails plunged into his hands and feet, and when he was crucified and he died. Then was resurrected by the power of God. He carried his own blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven and offered it on the mercy seat that gave us complete access into the presence of God. He takes his blood as the high priest. He takes it into heaven, and he offers it on the mercy seat as a sin offering for mankind. And the Father receives it because it's the precious blood of his Son without sin. God received and accepted Jesus' precious blood as an offering for mankind. Can you see that there's power in the blood of Jesus? Hallelujah. Isaiah 56, he says, I offered my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. Yeah, I didn't hide my face. They spat on me. They ripped my beard. They punched my face. The Son of God. I bled. Yeah. And it is by the same precious blood we are saved. Yes. Washed. Sanctified. Justified. Redeemed. Delivered. And protected. We are healed by that blood. As I said, no resurrection, no Pentecost, no birthing of the church or endowment of power upon the church. There's no shortcut to the power. There's no testimony without the tests, right? There's no victory without a fight. There's no crown without an old rugged cross. And there's no power without the blood. One night in a church service, a young woman sat in the service and she felt the Holy Spirit tug in her heart, and she responded to God's call and she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. This young woman had a very young, rough past. It involved alcohol, drugs, and prostitution. But the change and transformation in her life was evident. And as time went on, she became a faithful member of the church. She eventually became involved in the ministry, teaching the young children. And it was not very long until this faithful young woman had caught the eye and the heart of the pastor's son. And that relationship began to blossom and began to grow, and they began to make wedding plans. And this is when the problem started. You see, some of the members of the church did not think that this woman, because of her past, was qualified and suitable for the pastor's son. And they began to fight and argue about the matter, so they decided to have a meeting. And as they began to quarrel amongst themselves, the young woman began to become upset about everything that was being brought up about her past.
Yes.
And she began to cry, and the pastor's son stood up to speak, and he could not bear the pain that was causing his wife to be. And he began to speak, and his statement was, "This is my fiancée. My fiancé's past is not what is on trial here. What you are questioning is the ability of Jesus Christ's blood to wash away sin. Today you have put the blood of Jesus on trial. So does it wash away sin or does it not?" And a lot of times we look at people and we judge them and we do the same thing as the Pharisees, right? We judge people, how they live, and the things that they do, but we don't see what the blood of Jesus did for them. Yes, we got to walk out our salvation, and yes, we got to live right, and we got to be taught right, and we got to be corrected, right? But we don't pass judgment on people, right? Because if we do, then we judge the blood of Jesus, that the blood of Jesus is not strong enough to cleanse and save someone from their sins, past, present, and future. And the whole church began to weep as they realized that they had been slandering the blood of Jesus Christ. Too often, even as Christians, we do that. Amen. As I said, there's no resurrection. Without the blood, there's no resurrection. There's no Pentecost. There's no birthing of the church or the endowment of power for us to live victoriously with the Holy Ghost. You see, there's no shortcut to the power of God. There's no victory, as I said, without a fight. There's no crown without the old rugged cross. And there's no power without the blood of Jesus. For there, where there is no remission or shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The blood of Jesus was shed 2,000 years ago. And it is still as powerful as it once it was shed then, and still powerful today to save lives. And our dear sister, when you came up, the blood of Jesus was just as powerful to save you today as it was shed 2,000 years ago. Yeah. There's a song that we sing, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, but nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Well, Father, we thank you that we have been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for obeying the Father and going all the way, each and every step that you took, that you bled. And that ultimately you bled on the cross of Calvary for our sins so that we could be redeemed and receive forgiveness of our sins, but also be healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're thankful, we're grateful that we are people of the blood of Jesus. And we will speak and we will declare the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it with me. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fault I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you feel faith rising up within you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for the blood, Lord. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, today is Healing Sunday, and I know some of you came up this morning, but if you need healing this morning, I want you to come right now. I want you to get out of your seat and come right now and receive healing this morning. Amen? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is able to touch and heal you and make you every widow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, don't hesitate. If you hesitate, then you're doubting. Amen. Faith is now. Faith is now of what the blood has already done. Amen. So if you would come quickly. Hallelujah. Just as the angel would stir up the waters at the pool of Bethesda, the healing waters are being stirred right now. And that's why when the waters are being stirred, we have to move by faith. Amen. And step out. Hallelujah. Glory.